والنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الله لا يغفر للعبد الصالحين فيقول يا ربي أنى لي هذا فقال بدعاء وليد ولدك لك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to participate in this Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept this Jumu'ah from us, accept the Jumu'ah from all the Muslimin all over the world, Ya Rahman Rahimin. We dua to Allah Azza wa Jal that whatever problems the Ummah is facing, Ya Allah, to alleviate these problems, give them the solutions to their problems, and reward them for their sabr, Ya Rabbal Alameen. But the man jannah fi dawsu al-habi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone had requested that I speak about Valentine's. And I personally, my humble, I would say yes, but I don't really consider it too much to be a topic, because first of all, I mean, if anyone had any ikhtilaf that this was a haram holiday, then I'm, you know, kind of, it's been haram since it's, from its beginning, right? That it was built on zina, continued to remain for zina, and now till today it's still zina. If a person had any doubt about that, I don't know. And I don't think the kids that actually go for Valentine's is going to come to the masjid anyways, you know? So, you know, if you bring your girlfriend to the masjid, mashallah, you're a really good boyfriend, you know, so, okay, any case. But what I want everyone to understand here is that it's not something that can be dealt with in a bayan. Many times I get this discussion from parents. They say that, please speak to my son, he has a boy girlfriend. Or speak to my daughter, she has a boyfriend. I'm like, look, la ilaha illallah, I can talk to them. I can convince their mind as much as you want me to convince them. But some things are just emotional. They're not doing it because of that. Their love for their whatever person that they found is greater than their love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the case with everything that we do. That sometimes our love for the house, or the love for the car, or the love for the dunya, will make us hubbu dunya ra'su kulli khatiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The love of dunya is the root of all sin. That this is why this happens. And we are contributing to this problem because this is a systemic problem. This is a problem of the system. The system that we have is what? That my kid can go to high school and college and whatever and whatever. He can have like 3, 4, 5, 6 girlfriends, you know? I think the survey said about 80% of all kids in high school have at least one boyfriend or girlfriend, you know? So that's like on average, alright? And what do we do? It's fine, alright, he can have it, no problem. But as soon as he comes for a nikah, la ilaha illallah. That's haram, you're too young right now. You're too young right now, you can't have it. No, okay, fine, we'll engage you to someone. 2 years later you'll get married, no problem. And then we wonder, why is there a problem? Because the system is broken. It's a systemic problem. We don't even want to hear it. You know, something interesting about kids who are born in like Western countries is what? That they can go to their mom and dad and say, mom and dad, I have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, right? And even if the mom and dad don't like it, they can still talk about it. And it happens quite often, they talk about it. But the thing is that if it ever comes up to us, how dare you? Where's the, like, you know, and then we're going to kick them out, the things will happen, homelessness, things like that. You know, we don't have any way of discussing this with our kids. If you can't even talk about the problem, how can you get a solution? Right? And so that's what we want to, when this situation comes up, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first He save us from this. But be aware, you threw them into the fire of the college and the university, whatever. If they're already in that area and that situation, you should deal with it as a Muslim. Not deal with it through your emotions, but do it through your reason. What I wanted to discuss about today is that another issue that we have, that we deal with it with our emotions and not our reason, is how we benefit the dead after they pass away. When someone passes away, we talked about last week, about how we ourselves can save ourselves in the qabr. That we can read Surah Al-Mulk, we can recite Quran, we can do ibadah and salihah, amal al-salihah, we can do these things to help ourselves in our graves. How do we help other people? And this is another place where our emotion takes over our reason. We think this is just a problem for the youth. No, it's a problem for us as well. That the Quran and Sunnah tells us things to do, but we don't listen to the Quran and Sunnah, we want to do what we want to do. So for example, when it comes to someone passing away, we like to put a flower on their grave, we like to, when the janazah happens, when the janazah is set, we say, no, delay the janazah, because someone is coming from California, or someone's coming from Canada, someone else needs to be here. And this is not from the Sunnah or the Deen at all. But we're doing it because why? Because it makes us feel better. And that's the same problem with the kid who has a boyfriend or girlfriend. I feel good. If you really cared about this person that you're caring about, honestly speaking, if you really did care about them, you would not want them to go to the fire of Jahannam. You would not want them to go to the fire of Jahannam. You would have abandoned the relationship as it is. Because why? لا تقربوا الزنا. Allah made a command. And if you really cared, you would be avoiding it. But what happens is what? It's not about what benefits them. It's what makes me feel good. I put a rose on their grave, so it makes me feel better. I wanted to be in the janazah, so it makes me feel better. Whether or not it benefits my father or my grandfather doesn't matter anymore. This is why we have to lower our emotions. It's not what we want, it's what should be done. What should be done is the way of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can do a lot of things for them, but we have to be smart and understanding and know that it's not what I want, but what the Prophet told us to do. And that way you'll find, and this is the reality, and many people write all these weird things in their wills, like wait for so-and-so, or bury me in Pakistan or Bangladesh or whatever, you know, put me back somewhere, right? These are all things people want, but they don't realize once they hit the grave, or once they pass away, they all change their mentality. They're like, no, put me in the grave as fast as I can. They're waiting, they're inside their body, waiting to get into the ground. And what we do is we delay it a day or two while they're just waiting there, like, can I leave already? I need to get my questions. I need to go to the hereafter. And we're just waiting for someone else to come. So the Prophet ﷺ has taught us many different things to do. And so there are two important fundamental ways. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala, and I want everyone to remember these two ways. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala in his Aqidah, the Aqidatul Tahawiyyah, the most accepted Aqidah work, belief work, in creed, for all Muslims across the board. You're talking about all Muslims, all different types, all different backgrounds. They all read the Tahawiyyah as a beginner primer book for Aqidah. Because the ulama have written that this is the most accepted work in Aqidah. He writes in it, وَفِي دُعَاءِ الْأَحْوَاءِ أَحْيَاءِ وَصَدَقَاتِهِ مَنْفَعَةٌ لِلْأَمْوَاتِ. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah mentions, he says, the two things that will benefit a person after they pass away, that the living can do for the dead, is number one, that they do dua. And number two is that they give sadaqah. Number one, they make dua. Number two, they give sadaqah. The dua is extremely important, extremely beneficial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. He talks about the Ansar. He talks about the Muhajireen. He talks about how great they are, how amazing they are, how good qualities they had. They abandoned everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two great Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the two great groups of companions. Then after that, Allah ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. And those who came after them, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions. And they say, يَقُولُونَ, they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, Allah forgive us, وَلِيِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, and forgive those who have preceded us with belief. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا. And Allah, don't put hatred in our hearts after someone has passed away. Because many times the grudge doesn't die when the person dies. Many times the grudge continues after the person dies. Sometimes we even have a grudge against their children. Sometimes you have a grudge against their grandchildren. Because that grudge is so deep. We make this dua from our hearts. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, make this dua. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا. Don't make in our hearts غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Don't make in our hearts any type of animosity or hatred towards the people who believe. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَوْفُ رَحِيمٌ. Allah, you are all kind and all merciful, all compassionate. The ulama write, if there was no benefit for the dead to make dua for them, Allah would not have put it in His Quran. Similarly, janazah is a dua. Janazah is a dua. The only reason why you're making janazah is what? We want to make dua for the person who passed away. And this is reported in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person will wake up from the slumber of his qabr, wake up on qiyamah, find that subhanAllah he's followed by a mountain of reward. The hadith of the Tabarani says, he's followed by mountains of reward. Jibalan, mountains upon mountains. And he says, Ya Allah, I have not done any of these things here. Where is this all coming from? And the Prophet ﷺ says, the person will be elevated in Jannah. And he's like, Ya Allah, I didn't do any of these good deeds. Where is all this coming from? Anna li hadha. Where is it coming from? Bi du'a'i waladika lak. The Prophet ﷺ said, because of the du'a of your son for you. The du'a of your son for you. Bi istighfari waladika lak. And another hadith. Because your son kept saying, Astaghfirullah li wali abi. May Allah forgive me and my father. May Allah forgive me and my father. May Allah forgive me and my father. Because of that, the status of the father raises, subhanAllah. And this is the case for everyone. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith says, he says that what will benefit a person after they die? وَلَدًا صَالِحًا يَدْعُوا لَهُ. That a pious child that he leaves behind. But the ulama write, the reason why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the child is because that's one of the closest people that will make dua for us. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to highlight the child. But in reality, it's all believers. All believers making dua for any other believer will benefit them. That's why some people are like upset that someone passed away a little earlier than other people. It's honestly better because why? We're always making dua for believers. They're always getting some thawab from there. They're always getting some portion of that there. They're always appreciating that dua. The more you make dua for them, the more they will receive, inshallah ta'ala. To the point that they mention that the qabr that is once, what is it? Al-qabr rawdatun min riyad al-jannah aw hufratun min hufarin nar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the grave is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah or a pit from the pits of Jahannam. To the point that a person will be punished in their grave to such a degree, maybe years would go. And, but the thing is that the hasanat keep piling up. Someone is making dua for them over and over and over again. And so what happens is in the grave shifts. In the grave shifts, the ulama write. That from being a grave of fire becomes a garden of Jannah. Because the fact is what? Now he has too many good deeds that it's like, okay, you're not being punished anymore. It's going to become a place of hasanat now, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala will benefit a person by making dua. Imam Sufyan al-Sawri rahimahullah ta'ala said, Al-ahya al-amwatu ahwaju lal-du'ai min al-ahya ila ta'ami wa sharab. He said that the deceased are more in need, they are more in need of dua than the living are to food and drink. They wait for it. They're expecting it. They're hoping for it. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah writes, he says that when a person goes to visit a grave, the thing is that when you go give salam, he says, Radda alayhi salam. The person will return the salam to you. Wa yu'nisu, and he feels comfort. Wa yu'nasu, inda liqa'ihi. He feels comfort when the person comes to visit them. And the longer you stay, the more comfort that they feel. It's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which says very beautifully that when you go to meet a person that you know in the area of the qabr, what happens is what? That they, إِلَّا عَرَفَهُ وَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. The Prophet ﷺ says that person recognizes you and they return your salam. They benefit from your presence. This is why in our countries again, we always have the graveyard basically next to the masjid. It's always the case where what? You find it very close into the middle of the community because of that reason. Unfortunately in America, because death is just a myth to the American lifestyle. It's like we don't want to think about maut. Maut is the greatest of all evils. To the believers, tuhfatul mu'minin maut. It's a gift. We all have to go one day. Might as well go in the best way, inshallah. May Allah take us in the best way, ya Rabbil Alameen. What happens is what? That the more believers go and visit, the better this person feels, the more compassion and love that they feel. The first thing that we do is dua. The second thing that we do is sadaqah. There's so many hadith on this. The point the scholar said this is mutawatir. This is like common knowledge hadith. There's so many hadith on this topic. Sa'ad ibn Mu'abadah radiallahu anhu, very famous hadith of Bukhari. Sa'ad ibn Mu'abadah radiallahu anhu comes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, my mother passed away and I felt bad. I want to do something for her. فَهَلَّهَا أَجْرٌ إِن تَصَدَّقْتُ عَنْهَا. Is there, in the hadith Bukhari says very explicitly, is there any reward for her? Is there any ajr for her? If I give sadaqah on her behalf, will she get reward by me giving sadaqah? Again, the Prophet says, na'am. Yes. If you give it, she will get reward. So then what happens? Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu goes, he purchases a well and says, this well is in the name of my mother, Ummi Sa'ad radiallahu anha. This hadith is very beautiful and tells us so many things. That first and foremost, that you can give sadaqah on behalf of the people who passed away. And number two is that it will be part of their ajr. And this hadith has been extended in many different ways. The ulama started to make tashri' and tafsil. What does it mean? What is sadaqah in deen? So they found another hadith in Nasa'i. Another hadith which says that a person's father passed away before he could perform hajj. A person's father passed away before he could perform hajj. Everyone listen to me here. That the person's father passed away before they perform hajj, and they say, Ya Rasulullah, my father so-and-so passed away. And another hadith says, a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, my mother passed away. So two different incidents, right? Two different incidents here. So one person says, my mother, the other one says, my father. They came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, they passed away before they could complete their hajj. Can I do hajj on their behalf? أَفَحُجُّ عَنْهَا أَفَحُجُّ عَنْهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't you see, what do you think? If your father or your mother had any debt on them, wouldn't you pay off the debt? And they said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. If they had some debt, we paid off. فَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ حَقُّ أَيُقُضَى. The Prophet ﷺ says so beautifully. He says that the debt of Allah Ta'ala has more right that it be fulfilled. If they didn't perform the hajj, you do it. And so then the man asks in this hadith of Nasa'i, he said, Ya Rasulullah, what happens to the ajr though? What happens to the ajr? So the ayah comes out, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا. Right? They have a portion of whatever they have done. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, هُوَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ أَبِيكَ. It is between you and between your father. The performance of the hajj is between you and between the father. So the ulama said, if you can perform a fard hajj, right? It's a fard hajj, right? If you can perform a fard hajj on behalf of the deceased, then performing a nafl or a sunnah hajj or umrah or any other type of sadaqah will also be permissible as well. From the basis of this hadith. And so you can understand, subhanAllah, and this is again according to majority of scholars. And I'm not saying that there's not scholars today who disagree with it. There are some scholars who disagree. I'm letting you know this is the majority opinion. I wouldn't tell you anything except that I would trust his opinion, and I would find it in the kutub. And if anyone likes any more dalail, there's so much more we can discuss about. I'm only giving you short little things to do. So what happens? A person will, inshallah ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another hadith says, أَنْتُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمَا مَعَ صَلَاتِكَ وَتَصُومَ عَلَيْهِمَا مَعَ صِيَامِكَ وَتَصَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمَا مَعَ صَدَقَتِكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says another hadith, that whenever you pray, you say, Ya Allah, give the reward to my father and my mother too. Meaning nafl things. Whenever I do fasting, Ya Allah, give the reward to my father and mother as well. When I give sadaqah, Ya Allah, give it to the reward to my mother and father as well. You can do that. And the Prophet said, Huwa bayna wa baynak. Right? It's between you and between them. Right? Between you and between them. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah and understanding. And then one of the greatest ways that the ulama have discovered and understood, that they said that the sadaqah in the hadith of the Prophet is very, very general. Very, very general. How? The Prophet said, فَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. That you're saying Subhanallah is a sadaqah. You're saying Alhamdulillah is a sadaqah. You're saying La ilaha illallah is a sadaqah. You're saying Allahu Akbar is a sadaqah. Your amr bil ma'roof is sadaqah. Wa nahya al munkar is sadaqah. Wa al kalimatu tayyibatu. Even a good word sadaqah is a sadaqah. To the point that the ulama said, if all these things are sadaqat, then clearly then Quran will also be a sadaqah that you can donate to your deceased members as well. I'm giving you the understanding as to how they reach this reality. And if a person is not okay with or satisfied, there are many riwayat. Imam Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala says, كانت الأنصار إذا مات لهم الميت اختلفوا إلى قبره ليقرؤون له القرآن. Imam Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala says that when anyone passed away in their community, the Ansar, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, will go to the grave of such individual and they will recite Quran for that person. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are doing so. Ibn al-Ajjaj radiallahu anhu says that when I pass away, I want you to make sure that you recite Fatiha at the top of my qabr. Hadith al-Tabarani, good hadith. It says that on the head side of my qabr, I want you to recite Fatiha in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. And at the feet side and the lower side of my qabr, I want you to recite the end of Surah Baqarah. He said, وَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُهَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, I heard this from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So there's clear riwayat and understanding and indication that the Qur'an is beneficial for the people who passed away. The Qur'an is beneficial for the people who passed away. And so subhanAllah, you find that this has always been the case. Atta rahimahullah ta'ala said, يَتْفَعُ الْمَيِّتَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ. That three things follow the person after they passed away. Al-idku, wal-hajju, wal-sadaqah. That a person who's freeing slaves, and they free the slaves and say, Ya Allah, give this reward to my so-and-so deceased member, they get a reward. Wal-hajju, whoever performs hajj, and says, Ya Allah, give the reward to my deceased member, that'll be okay as well. Wal-sadaqah, and giving sadaqah as well. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, another hadith says, that it was a report about Aisha radiallahu anha, when her brother Abdurrahman passed away, she used to go and free slaves and say, Ya Allah, this is the reward for my brother Abdurrahman. There are many hadiths on it. Hassan al-Husayn radiallahu anhuma, يُعْتِقَانِ عَنْ أَبِيهِمَا. That they used to give free slaves on behalf of their father Ali radiallahu anhu. This idea, this notion that people have that, you know, is that you cannot give on behalf, you cannot read Quran on behalf of the dead is a new opinion. It's a new opinion. The majority of the ulama, I'm talking about Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki, and Hanafi, you know, may Allah have mercy on all the ulama, that what, they all agreed on this matter. And there were a couple of Shafi'i ulama who did it in the past, but later on Imam Suyuti rahimahullah said, yeah, everyone just kind of understood that this was the way. And he said that this has been the way of the ulama, the cities of the Muslim communities. Even Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, right? The student of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, very beautiful, he goes and says, what's the proof that it doesn't reach the dead? It's like, prove it if it doesn't. Find a hadith, he says. He said, you're not gonna find it. And if you have any issue with it, and still we're having problems, no problem. Ibn al-Hajj, rahimahullah ta'ala, wrote, he said, if a person says like, you know, I don't really buy this Quran going to the dead, he said, alright, just make a dua. Ya Allah, I send the reward of my Quran to the dead. Because dua reaches the dead. So if you made a dua, Allah ta'ala, yastajibu da'awat, you know? So having said all those things about what can benefit, we can give sadaqah, we can make dua, we can give sadaqah, we can perform good deeds on behalf of them. We can also, inshallah, recite Quran for them. Then why are we only remembering them once in a year? Why are we only remembering once in a year? When the death anniversary comes, then we remember our father, our mother, our grandparents. Or, you know, or that day then we give sadaqah. Or only at those moments that we try to remember them. Or then what do we do? After 3 days, after 7 days, after 40 days, or whatever. You know, like the reciting the Quran, if you have a difference of opinion on it, it's a difference of opinion among scholars. You cannot say someone's doing a bid'ah. But what is a bid'ah? After 3, 7, 40, we sit together and we say, you know what, we have to do something for the deceased. Or, let's put some roses on the grave. Or, hey, let's put something on the grave, right, that maybe will help them. None of these things will do it. Some people take the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and say that the Prophet ﷺ stuck a branch or a twig into the graves one time. And then he said that these people were being punished, and because of this twig here, inshallah, the punishment will be lifted as long as it's not dry. Right? And then, you know, it's very interesting because why? People use it as like, oh, why can't we put a flower on it? The reason is because this, that no Sahabi ever copied the Prophet ﷺ on this. The Nabi ﷺ didn't even do it for anyone else. You know, this is a very specific case, and the scholars of hadith have written that if the Prophet ﷺ does something once, it does not make it a sunnah. Does not make it a sunnah. You have to see what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu done afterwards, if they've implemented or not. We can understand from this narration that the Prophet ﷺ, he knew something that other people didn't know. This is very specific, khasan lil Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, very specific to the Prophet ﷺ. And the most amazing thing, and I think people kind of forget this, is the Prophet ﷺ did it because the people were being punished. You and I don't know if the person is being punished. By you putting it into the ground, you're like, maybe they're being punished right now. You don't do that. Like, you hope for the best for your deceased. What can you do? What should we do? What should we do? Is that we don't just prepare for a Qur'an khani. We don't just prepare for a Qur'an khani. That, okay, we're going to move the furniture around, everyone's going to come inside the house, and we're going to recite Qur'an this one time. Okay, we're going to hire some hafizab to make a dua, and that's the only time we're going to remember them. You don't go visit them once a year. You don't read Qur'an once a year. You read it every single day for them. You read it every single day for them. How long would it take to recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times? Probably less than a minute, for majority of us here. Well, less than a minute, mashallah, you can send the reward of the Qur'an khatam to the entire deceased of the Ummah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to all the Muslimin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the point that the hadith of Musannif ibn Abi Shaybah rahimahullah ta'ala says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person, when they go to meet, gives salam to the graves and says in part of their dua, anzil alayhi rawham min indika wa salama minni. The hadith ibn Shaybah says, Musannif ibn Abi Shaybah says, that a person says, Ya Allah, send your special mercy to them, special comfort to them, and send a salam from me. The Prophet ﷺ says, he will receive the reward for all the deceased people since the time of Adam ﷺ. From all the deceased people, just a small thing. Ya Allah, give them a special reward from you, and give them a special salam from me. And from that, they will get the reward like that. You can get so much salam by just sending it regularly every single day. And that's what if you really care about them, if you really love them, it should be done on a regular basis. It should not be done once in a year. It should not be done like that. That's the bid'ah there. That's the death anniversary there. That's the Qur'an khani there. Again, I'm not denying the fact that it's good to read Qur'an. The Qur'an khani has some reward in it. But what I'm upset about is that we only do it at that time. We don't ever do it anymore. And then we pretend like we're doing something for them. They need it all the time. The people who are in the graves, they need it all the time. Imagine you're in a house by yourself. There's no lights in the house. Completely dim. Nothing in there. You're by yourself all the time. And then subhanAllah, someone comes at the door, knocks on the door, and says, here's a gift for you. And every single day is coming a gift for you, a gift for you. Your son has sent you a gift. Your daughter has sent you a gift. This man named Shaquille sent you a gift. He doesn't even know you, but he sent you a gift. Right? He just gave you a gift. You just feel so happy. A person on their hospital bed is looking for people to visit them. Similarly, the person in the grave is waiting for people to send them something. And people are not sending things to them. And so inshallah, we'll end with this. Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah ta'ala. And I don't normally narrate dreams, because I don't really like to do it. People get too upset about dreams. People have a dream and they think they're a Nabi now. And they send all mawas, I had this dream, I had this dream, I had this dream. We get like 50 dreams every single morning after Fajr. You know, I just do it because the sunnah of the Prophet says, you know, it's a sunnah to interpret dreams after Fajr. So that's why I kind of do it, you know. But I don't, like, people get way too obsessed over dreams, you know. But the dreams of the Salihin of the past have some ibarah, some lessons for us. And he mentioned the thing about Malik ibn Dinar before. Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he sees one time in his dream a vision. And he sees that all the people of the dead are benefiting from this nur and barakah. All this nur and barakah is coming on them. And he's like, he goes and asks one of them, he goes and says, where is all this nur and barakah coming from? He said, such and such person was praying salah, two rakats. He made this wudu perfect. He prayed two extra dafal salah. And he stood up and said, Fatiha, قُلْ يَحِيُّ الْكَافِرُونَ قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ كَافِرُونَ أَحَدْ. And he recited it, and then he said, Ya Allah, at the end of it, send this to all the Ahli al-Qabairi min al-Mu'mineen, all the deceased people, Ya Allah, send it to all of them. And we are benefiting from his two rakats. We are benefiting from his two rakats. So Malik ibn Dinar said, wow, he benefited from that dream. He's like, you know what, I need to start doing this too. So every night before Jumu'ah, he would pray two rakats only for the deceased people. Just like, Ya Allah, I want to make this for the deceased. He does it, and then he sees the Prophet in his dream the next day. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has forgiven you for all the times that you made dua for these people, and for all the nur that you sent them, Allah has forgiven you. And he's built for, وَبَنَا لَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has built you a very special house in Jannah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to understand what is the right way to do things. He allows us to understand that our emotions cannot go over our reason and our aqal. We understand that the Quran and Sunnah teaches the ways to benefit the deceased. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to avoid bid'ah in every single form. We ask Allah ta'ala that we die on Sunnah and we resurrect on Sunnah and resurrect Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who pass from the mu'mineen, Ya Rabbal Alameen, grant them nur in their qubur and grant them jannah fidaus al-a'la wa habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us all tawfiq inshaAllah for those who make Sunnah can do so inshaAllah. Thank you.